Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. This is a special midweek edition for the season of Lent as we take a look at the hands involved in the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our redemption from all of our sins. Tonight's word from God comes to us from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 21 through 30. I'll read that now. After Jesus had said this, he was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. And it was night. This is the word of our Lord. Marcus Brutus, Benedict Arnold, and Judas Iscariot. By no means illustrious company, there are some names that are so synonymous with betrayal that everything else they ever did in life doesn't really seem to matter. Betrayal has this way of befouling any and all former good deeds. Betrayal besmirches names into oblivion. That's why you don't run into too many Brutuses or Benedicts or meet many Judases nowadays. Betrayal is this blot that can't be gotten rid of, it seems. Betrayal is always a big deal, even if it isn't as historically consequential as the betrayal of Brutus, Benedict Arnold, or Judas Iscariot. In fact, you've likely been stung by betrayal. Perhaps you were double-crossed in a bad business deal by someone who used to be a friend. Maybe you were stabbed in the back by someone that you confided in. Maybe your heart was broken by someone you loved who proved themselves to be untrue. It is deeply painful to find out after the fact that someone you trusted, someone you confided in, someone you even loved would sell you out so easily. If you've ever felt like that, then you're not surprised by how John describes Jesus in our reading for this evening. Jesus was troubled in spirit as he thought about the fact that one of his own disciples was going to betray him. And when his disciples heard this, they're dumbfounded and disheartened. They begin searching their own hearts and even asking one another who he meant, or if it could even be themselves. One by one, we're told in Matthew chapter 26, they ask Jesus, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Of course, in this moment, Jesus knew exactly who would betray him. It was Judas. But as they continued to ask him, Jesus continued to be vague about the identity of his betrayer. "One of you will betray me." That night at that table, Jesus did provide two clues that his disciples missed. Like the other disciples, Judas actually asked Jesus if Jesus was saying that Judas would be his betrayer. Jesus answered him flatly, "You have said so." John also tells us in our reading for this evening that when Jesus dipped the bread, he gave that piece to Judas and indicated that this would be the one who would betray him. At that moment, Satan entered Judas, and Jesus commanded him to do what he was going to do quickly. It seems it should have been clear to everyone there that evening who Jesus' betrayer would be, but the identity of Jesus' betrayer remained a mystery to the disciples until the betrayal actually happened. Of course, this was the way that Jesus wanted it. He could have easily let the cat out of the bag from the get-go. He knew when he called Judas Iscariot to be his disciple that one day this man would be his betrayer. He could have sat down that night and shamed Judas in front of all the other disciples. He could have run Judas through the ringer and exposed his deceitfulness, his long-standing embezzling, and his plots with the chief priests and elders, too. That's likely what you and I would have done. I mean, think about how we respond when we find out a close friend has betrayed us. We're deeply wounded. We often become bitter and angry. We expect our enemies to have it out for us, but never our friends. We expect people in the world or in the workplace to sell us out when it benefits them, but not our buddies. Never our loved ones. When they do, we tend to react strongly. Perhaps even putting an end to that relationship. We may even dramatically say that that person is now dead to us. So imagine for a moment if you knew without a doubt that someone close to you was going to betray you. How long would you keep that a secret? How quickly would you cut off communications with them? How soon would they be dead to you? What Judas did that night will not soon be forgotten. But what Judas did that night was not as rare or as unrepeated as we might like to think. You see, each one of us, every single sinner, has betrayed God too. You see, since the fall into sin, people have been betraying God, choosing to give him up for a cost. Adam and Eve betrayed the Lord, their God, for the opportunity to be like God, knowing good and evil. And ever since that fall into sin, their children have followed in Adam and Eve's footsteps. You and I betray our God, too, for a cost. We betray our God when we consider his word to be no more authoritative or truthful than the popular views of our day or our own deeply held opinions. We betray our God when we decline the rest that he offers to us in his son, in his word, or in his house for lesser relationships, lesser truths, lesser places. We betray the Lord our God when we disregard the authorities that he himself has established because they don't align with our ideas or our ideals. We betray the Lord our God when we consider our own lustful or angry impulses, our greedy or jealous thoughts to be no big deal. We betray the Lord our God when we grumble and complain about what we don't have or what we do have to deal with. Whenever we choose sin in any form, especially after coming to know that Jesus is God's own Son and our Savior, this is nothing less than cosmic betrayal of the Lord our God. Jesus recognizes that we don't think of sin in these terms, like betrayal, exchanging God for something less than God. But that's why he asks us poignantly in Matthew chapter 16, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? Jesus recognizes that many betray him for a price, but at great personal, spiritual cost. The Lord our God knows beyond a shadow of a doubt how we have betrayed him. And how we will do it again and again. But the Lord our God does not treat us as we would treat our own betrayers. How quickly we would expose our betrayers, but not our God. Jesus rebukes his betrayer clearly, but almost discreetly. Jesus is far more interested in winning Judas over than showing him up in that upper room. How quickly you and I would cut off all communication to our betrayers, but not our God. But Jesus reaches out. He breaks bread and hands it to Judas, seeming to indicate that Judas and John were the two sitting closest to Jesus. Jesus continues to speak with and give of himself, even to his betrayer. How quickly you and I would view our betrayers as dead to us, yet God saw that we were dead in our transgressions and sins and totally deserving of his wrath, but because of his great love and rich mercy, he saved us by grace through faith. God made betrayers like you and me alive, and that is what Jesus longed to do, even for Judas. See, Jesus was troubled in his spirit by what Judas was about to do, but He refused to let Judas's sin lead him into temptation. Instead, he suffered this pain and resisted the temptation to lash out or even embarrass Judas. Don't you see? Jesus loved his betrayer even to the end. But the end for Judas was quite tragic. You see, there's a tragic thing that happens in the lives of many betrayers. When they're finally caught, trapped by their treachery, exposed for their duplicity and deceit, they're overwhelmed and they become desperate. Some, like Judas, even go so far as to take their own lives out of guilt and shame. They end their lives out of a deep sense that what they have done can never be undone, that the wrong they have committed can never be righted, that the treachery they have perpetrated will follow them to the ends of the earth. This is how Judas died. You see, when Judas saw that Jesus was condemned, Matthew tells us in chapter 27 of his gospel, he was seized with remorse and he tried to return the 30 pieces of silver. He went to the wicked chief priests and the elders in the temple and said to them, "I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood." Of course, these wicked men had no mercy on this broken betrayer. And they said to him, "What is that to us? That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. This is a grievous and tragic ending for Judas, the betrayer, but it's not surprising. When sin becomes a sinner's responsibility, guilt continues to grow, shame compounds, and it ends in eternal death. That is exactly why Jesus Christ came, to take responsibility for our sins, even our betrayals. The blood that Judas betrayed was innocent, was righteous, was pure. It is the blood that washes us clean from all of our iniquities, our guilt, and our shame. The blood of this lamb took responsibility for our sin. And this blood speaks a better word. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Of course, these words first applied to the Roman soldiers who were in the process of crucifying Jesus. But consider what Christ was saying. The Roman soldiers were not unaware of the pain they were inflicting, the shame they were heaping upon Jesus as they mocked and beat and crucified our Christ. But they did not understand the full ramifications of their actions. Judas, much like those Roman soldiers, was not unaware of how much the chief priests and the elders hated Jesus and desired to kill him. But when he saw that Jesus was going to be crucified, he began to understand what he had actually done. Like those abusers, like that betrayer, we are not unaware of God's commands to do righteousness and to flee all sin. But in the moment, we do not see these actions or inactions as cosmic betrayal, but that does not change their nature. They still are. Just as Judas's actions were betrayal, just as the Roman soldiers were responsible for torturing and killing the author of life and the King of Kings, we are guilty of our own sin, and yet this innocent blood speaks for us, begs for and earns our forgiveness. This innocent blood was willing and joyful to take responsibility for our sins. Jesus knew that he would be crucified. He knew that he would be betrayed, but love bears all things, even betrayal. So love commanded that his betrayal be done quickly. Love endures all things, even injustice. So love submitted himself to corrupt Jewish and Roman officials, even though he was totally innocent. Love always perseveres. So love carried his own cross to the point of physical exhaustion. And our guilt, our shame, our sin debt to the depths of hell and to the point of death. Because love never fails. Love continues to be loyal and totally self-sacrificing, even to its betrayers. Because Jesus is God's undeserved love, even to loathsome betrayers like Judas and you and me. Jesus is that friend who loves at all times, the brother who is born for the time of adversity. As physically, emotionally, and spiritually agonizing as it was for Jesus, God's own beloved Son was committed to shedding his innocent blood so that our guilt would not stick to us forever, so that our lives would not end as Judas's did, with remorse and hell, but rather redemption and heaven. And this is what he says to us. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Amen.